Muddy.
0141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Ladbrokes.com. Please gamble responsibly.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Walter Smith's in the frame to be the next Scotland national team manager, with Graham Murty, amongst others, tipping him to be a success. And if you're looking to the weekend for other managers who are in form, then what about Stevie Clark and Neil Lennon, with Kilmarnock and Hibs making sure it was a losing Saturday for both Celtic and Rangers. We'll look back on the rest of the weekend's action, where Aberdeen were the real winners in the top flight and St Mirren took another step towards the championship. Derek Johnson and Hugh Keevans are here with me, Gordon Duncan. As I said, gentlemen, it was a dramatic, action-packed weekend of football, and plenty to get our teeth into this evening.
Yeah, great football, defeats for Celtic and Rangers, not often that happens, Gordon. And then topped off this morning with the story that Walter Smith is in line to be the next Scotland manager. When a newspaper goes out on a limb, Gordon, and splashes that story on its front page, then I take it to be more than informed speculation. Now, that will immediately polarise public opinion, has started to do so already, and you can only let the fans have their say here on this show.
Derek Johnson.
I was amazed when I read the story, to be fair. You know, I thought Walter was quite happy in his life now, doing his bit of travelling, looking after the grandkids, away from the football. He's done his 50 years or whatever it is of football. They were quite happy. Listen, I'll be absolutely delighted if he does come back, you know, for Scotland, because he's the sort of man that can get Scotland going again, you know, getting somebody alongside him, the two of them going in there. I think it'll be wonderful, but I'm still very, very sceptical of it. I still don't think you'll get it. But listen, maybe I'm wrong. I don't know a thing. I hope it's true.
Why not get in touch with us? 01419511025. We're on Twitter at ClydeSSB as well. What do you make of the stories linking Walter Smith with the Scotland manager's job? Celtic and Rangers fans, defeats at the weekend. Where did it go wrong? Let us know. And of course, fans of other teams as well. Hibs, Kilmarnock, you must be absolutely delighted. St Mirren fans as well. Are you daring to dream? Let us know what's on your mind. 01419511025. Let's take a bit of a closer look at the situation, Hugh Keevans, to kick things off. So Walter Smith, we believe, wanted to be spoken to by the Scottish FA. We all know the backstory. Former Rangers and Everton manager. He did take charge of the national team previously, remember, between 04 and 07. He then left the post to return to Ibrox as Paul Le Guin's successor. I'm hoping we can have a proper debate about this, where we look at the all the pros and all the cons, so to speak. So first of all, put the case forward as to why the Scottish FA would want to consider Walter Smith.
Well, whose decision is it, Gordon? There's no chief executive.
I was going to get to that, but carry on.
When I say that Walter polarises opinion, there will be those among the Tartan army who will say he walked out in Scotland. It doesn't matter that he went to Rangers, and Rangers is the love of his life at club level. He walked out, and you should only be allowed to walk out on your country once. Others will say he's a man of tremendous experience. His 3 years in charge of Scotland saw the national team go in an upward direction. Then there'll be the argument which says he's been out of football for 7 years.
Yeah.
So how can he be the next Scotland manager? Once upon a time, it was Michael O'Neill, £500,000 compensation, a record salary to become Scotland manager, and apparently the dawn of a new era. Now all of that appears to have been forgotten about, and it's a phone call to a man who, as I say, hasn't been at the sharp end for 7 years. These are the pros and cons. I leave it up to the general public to explain to us on which side of the fence they stand.
Derek, you've made it quite clear that you are relatively comfortable with the idea. You think it would be a good idea. What about some of the things that Hugh pointed out there? Let's start with, for instance, being out of work for 7 years. Would that not absolutely be a concern at all to you?
Well, I think what he would do, he would bring somebody in very solid beside him, you know, that has been involved in football. I mean, the great strength that Walter's got, and I've mentioned it on many occasions about what's needed for a Scotland manager, is getting players playing to the best of their ability. If you've got one like that, it's great. If you've got somebody else there that's doing the coaching and whatever, Walter's wonderful at talking to players before games, during games, you know, and that's the one great thing of him. He can motivate players. So from that point of view, yes. But you're right, 7 years is a long time out. He would, if he did do it, and I'm still very sceptical. I hate talking about it because it's all speculation at this moment in time. But I'll be very, very surprised if he becomes the Scotland manager.
There's nothing wrong with being in your 60s, as
no,
I'm sure.
No, no, I'm not saying anything about this room.
However, is that a valid concern, Hugh Keevans? What about people that point to Walter Smith's age and say, well, he's 69, so A, is it worth getting him in at all? And B, if we do get him in, are we going to get any type of longevity or long-term plan there?
If someone said to me, it's him and get over it, then I would say, okay, why not pair him with Malky Mackay? And I know that everyone goes back to Project Brave. I don't see any reason why Malky Mackay couldn't mix Project Brave with helping Walter Smith out as international matches approached. That's, again, one argument. Others will say, Stevie Clark. My problem there is I don't get the impression that Stevie Clark wants the job. However, somebody has to ask him. Also, Neil Lennon doing a terrific job at Hibs, and I don't think would shy away from doing the Scotland job. But again, someone would need to sound them out. At the moment, as I say, when a newspaper splashes this story on its front page, I take it to be more than just informed speculation.
Any fairness in the accusation that that would be an unimaginative appointment, just given that it's someone who's been there before, rather than, you know, perhaps looking at someone a bit younger or looking at someone a bit further afield? Can you understand that accusation?
Listen, what we're hearing, you know, from Mr. Reagan, that yes, ever since Michael O'Neill, you know, turned us down, we've had various people, there'll be a lot more candidates have come in. I don't see Walter Smith writing in for the Scotland job. You know, so you just wonder how many people are actually, you know, want that Scotland job. You know, Gary Caldwell has put his name forward. You know, he's actually told you he wants the job. Maybe inexperience won't allow him to get that bit. But Walter would be a good one alongside a solid coach alongside them, because as I say, he's a great motivator, and that's all you need for these Scotland players. They're good players when they play international. They just need to get themselves going. But I just worry, that's in the back of my mind. He's been out for so long and he's enjoying life away from football. Loves going and watching it most of the times. He goes and watches Dumbarton, St Mirren. He'll go and watch Rangers most times when he can, and he's happy doing that. There's no pressure. He's got the grandkids with him and everything else. I would find it very, very hard to believe that he's going to come back and be the Scotland manager.
Would the hunger still be there then?
Yeah, he'd take it, I think. If he were offered the job, I think he would. But we're into this debate, and you raised the point yourself, Gordon. He is 69 years old. I'm not saying that that means that you're over and done with as a human being, but Michael O'Neill was sold to everyone as the dawn of a new era. And now we seem to have gone from the dawn of a new era to a nostalgic return to someone who, I repeat, during his 3 years as Scotland manager, took the national team in an upward direction.
He made us hard to beat. That's the one thing he did do, yeah.
But people have been focusing on Stevie Clark, Neil Lennon, and even Malky Mackay for this particular role. And it was assumed that because Stuart Regan had gone, Malky Mackay had moved up the pecking order as well. And that's why this morning's headlines came as such a surprise.
Scott is in Dalmarnock. Hi, Scott.
Hi, lads. It's Kilmarnock.
Oh, Kilmarnock. Oh, okay. He's
the last name as well.
You can see why the person who takes the call made that mistake.
No,
Scott, my apologies. Kilmarnock.
No, that does explain it
because it says you're a Kilmarnock fan, and there can't be many Kilmarnock fans in Dalmarnock. So there we are. Anyway, now that we've got that out of the way, Scott, what's your point tonight?
Hey, happy Kelly fan. 2 points. One about Scott Brown's comments, and one about Stevie Clark. It's getting irritating that Stevie Clark, who's only been in our job for 6 months, is getting touted for everything that comes up. Granted, I know success breeds these stories, and we'll not keep a hold of him from ever. That's a guarantee. He'll move on to bigger things. But Rangers made a mess of their recruitment policy of their manager, and I know you get fans from up saying, "Ah, you know, Stevie Clark would be good." But, no, hang on. Leave him where he is. We did our homework. We got a good guy in. You made a mess of yours. That's fine. And then you get people from Celtic side saying, "Oh, he'll be good for Scotland job." No, Reagan made a mess of his recruitment policy. Leave Steve Clark where he is. Every time, and then Brendan Rodgers chips in again, talking about other managers and other clubs as usual. Neil Lennon would be good. Leave him where he is. Leave Clark where he is. complain there's no competition in Scotland, but that when you get competition, you start trying to oust them and ruffle the feathers so there's no competition. So you kind of have it both ways. When they don't want competition, but when they get it, you try and move your manager on to somewhere else.
To be fair,
this is where we live.
To be fair, Scott, managers respond to questions that they are asked by the press. Neil Lennon became a contender for the Scotland job, and Brendan Rodgers was asked about it, and he gave his comment. And with regard to Stevie Clark, the job that he has done in transforming Kilmarnock has been such that, of course, he's been touted for everything now. And it's just a part of football. You know,
just take it as a compliment,
yeah,
Scott.
I mean, Josef Malumbo has only been at Kilmarnock a matter of months, and Stevie Clark revealed on Saturday afternoon that he could have been away to Bordeaux because he has made such a good job of getting his career back on track at Kilmarnock that he was very nearly in the major league in France on deadline day. So it's just the way of the world in football, yeah. Scott.
But you're right as far as managers are concerned. I mean, I agree with you 100%. And I know they're asked the questions because everybody's looking for a headline. We know that. You're asked questions about another manager. All they want to say, and I heard Graham Murty say that the other day when he was asked a question about what Craig Levein said or something. He said, look, he says, I've got my own club to think about it. Let them get on with it themselves. It's nothing to do with me. Yeah. And that's all you've got to say.
And let me preempt your question about Scott Brown. What Scott Brown had to say about Kilmarnock celebrating as if they'd won the World Cup. Well, so what? Of course they're going to celebrate and celebrate lavishly. Every time Scott scores a goal for Celtic, he celebrates lavishly. And Celtic players would celebrate if they had achieved a major result. They would celebrate in a major way. So his comment about the way Kilmarnock celebrated their win over Celtic, for me, was just
pathetic.
The wrong road to go down, because anyone can point to you.
Scott, I admire your plea for people to stop linking Stevie Clark with the Scotland job and various others. I can't promise it's going to happen. So let me ask you how you're feeling about being a Kilmarnock fan. Are you comfortable? Are you confident he's going to stay? Confident the head wouldn't be turned by this or anything else that's going on?
Yes, I believe he'll stay for now. I mean, it's one of those cases when Hugh used to say about Brendan Rodgers last season, enjoy him whilst you've got him. You know, we'll enjoy Stevie Clark whilst we've got him. I don't think for a second he's going to stay maybe more than a season or two. But you know what? Enjoy every game he's here, and it's a joy. Will he move on to better things? Absolutely. But I think his comments himself, when he came into the job, he specifically said, I'm here for Kilmarnock only. Yeah. I'm not interested in any other Scottish job or the manager's job. So he's already given the indication, should he move on, it ain't for anyone else in Scotland. It'll be for someone down south. So it's always hard to say. People say, I'm not going to move on, my player won't move on, and then they end up doing it anyway. But yeah, I actually generally think he won't move until he's going to move.
But
south.
You know what he's doing,
Scott?
I don't
care, I'm going to any Scottish club.
No, I think you're right. And you know what he's doing? He's putting a smile on Kilmarnock supporters' faces. That's what he's doing, because you're enjoying your football now.
Great stuff. Thanks to Scott in Kilmarnock, not Dalmarnock. Easy mistake to make. Blame the producer. Lots of tweets coming in. Marcus Barry says, Walter Smith back to the future with the man that left Scotland in the lurch. And David Campbell, Walter Smith been out the game too long. That overrides all. We need to go younger and fresher. Steve's in Milton. Hi, Steve.
Hiya.
What's your thoughts on all this, Steve?
Yeah, well, my thoughts is the last tweet you got there. I don't know how Walter Smith or Alec McLeish could be offered the Scotland job after walking away.
Yeah, I've read many people on social media today saying you only walk away once. And although it was said at the time it was because it was Rangers, well, the choice of club was really neither here nor there. The fact is he was the national team manager and decided not to be the national team manager. Does that mean that he shouldn't be considered ever again? For some supporters, yes, it does.
I see, I don't understand that. No one could come out and turn around and say that. I mean, the club is bigger than the country. Then be offered it again. It doesn't matter who it is.
I think if you go back to the time, Hugh, I think Walter Smith said, you know, it was the only job he would have left Scotland for. Does that make a difference to people? I don't know. It doesn't look like it, looking at some of the reaction, to be fair.
I think those who are vehemently opposed to the idea of Walter Smith being approached over the job will cite what happened when he replaced Paul McGuinn. It, will go in at Ibrox, and they won't forget. Football fans are like that. Others will say, listen, we need a manager who can end this 20 years exile from the major competitions.
Yeah.
And Derek's a fan. He believes that Walter Smith could do that job.
Steve, you want to look forward then. You feel like Walter Smith would be kind of looking back the way. What sort of name would you give us in terms of looking forward?
I really don't know. I don't think Steve Clark would take the job. And I don't know. Me personally, I like Gordon Strachan. I think his record speaks for itself, even in the qualifiers.
Yeah, but we have to concede that he failed twice and lost his job. We're not going back to Gordon Strachan. We need to find out who is Gordon Strachan's replacement.
Hugh, you did sort of introduce the question earlier on, but can we really appoint a manager before a chief executive? Can that happen?
Yes, it can.
Should it happen?
Well, we're in a...
Well, if we're going to talk to somebody, then somebody within the SFA is taking up the mantle, isn't he?
You see, we're in a rudderless ship at the moment, and we have the sitting president, Alan McRae, and the president-elect, Rod Petrie, and they can be the only ones, I would guess, who are taking this forward, whether it's the national team manager or the SFA's chief executive. So they'll be taking soundings from all and sundry, I would guess, because they're not trusted by the supporters at large in this country to do the job for themselves.
You know what, Hugh, I would imagine, and I would like to think so, and I know how Walter sees things. I would imagine in the next 24 hours there will be some sort of statement from Walter, whether it's yea or nay, whether he wants it.
Well, the one thing you know about Walter Smith, he's not going to get caught up in some embarrassing internal wrangle whereby it transpires that some people on the SFA board don't want to interview Walter Smith. He will have to have assurances before he goes public, and the SFA will need to make sure, if he is the man that they want, they will need to make sure that everything is nailed down, because if we get a second fiasco to follow Michael O'Neill, there will be ructions.
You've heard what Hugh Keevans and Derek Johnston think. Why not tell us what you think? 01419511025. More calls after the travel with Amber.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Ladbrokes.com, backing Scottish football all season long. Please gamble responsibly.
Hugh Keevans and Derek Johnston here with me, Gordon Duncan, on tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Don't forget, plenty more time to look back on a busy weekend as far as club football goes. Defeats for Rangers and Celtic. Kilmarnock fans and Hibs fans will be happy, I would imagine. So share your thoughts on that. But in the meantime, we're going to stick with the Walter Smith story, because lots of you have been getting in touch. Let's hear, before we take another call, let's hear from Graham Murty. He says he wouldn't be surprised if Walter Smith does become the manager of Scotland, and is quite sure that he would bring success back to the national team. The current Rangers boss, of course, played under Smith in the national setup, and says that he would certainly get the most out of the players.
My thoughts on Walter Smith have been very well documented in the high regard I hold him. I think he's a fantastic man. I think he's a fantastic character. And when you walked onto the football pitch with him as your manager, you had clear understanding and clarity of what your role was, and you had his backing, and the faith that you felt from him, from a man of that stature, made you walk onto the pitch feeling great. So I can't hold him in any higher regard. And if Scotland were to look to him and ask him to take charge, that would be down to him. But it wouldn't necessarily be a surprise. He's been here loads. He's been at Ibrox loads. But we just chat generally about the incident of the day or the circumstance or the most pertinent thing that's happened in any game that's been on the TV. We weren't talking about that. And I would be very, very surprised if he wanted to talk about that, because he's an intensely private guy. And I wouldn't want to speak for him, but I'm sure if he does make a decision that he wants to come back, he'll have given it long and deep thought, and it'll be the right thing for him. And if he does come back, he'll have everyone at the football club right behind him. Walt has lots to offer to lots of people. He tutors on the pro licence, and he's a fantastic sounding board to people that he works with and talks to. How that experience is used is down to different circumstances, and it's all contextual. If the national team want him as their manager, then they have to make that choice and make it clear and get it done. If not, then move on and appoint someone. But as far as Walter goes, as I've said, my regard for him couldn't be higher.
Well, that's a ringing endorsement from Graham Murty. but there will still be sceptics on the one
hand.
I mean,
I know people will say, oh, you know, Rangers manager praises Walter Smith. Obviously, yeah, that was partly going to happen, but he does speak particularly passionately about it, doesn't he?
Yeah, and he goes back to his own playing days for Scotland under Walter Smith by saying that when players went out onto the park, they had a clear understanding of what their role was in the game. So a ringing endorsement from Graham Murthy, but there will be, for everyone willing to give a ringing endorsement, someone who will be sceptical.
I mean, that's exactly what I was talking about earlier, you know, about getting players playing to their best ability. He talks to players all the time. If he feels there's a one of the players in the position he's playing is maybe a bit different, you'll go and speak to him for a long time and explain to him why he's playing there. And so when you go out, you know your job. It's not a case of going out and saying, oh, I've never really played here before. He actually gets inside their heads, and that's the good side of him.
Danny's in Castlemilk. Hi, Danny.
Hi, guys. I'm kind of laughing at your comments here. We went to go for Michael O'Neill last week, a manager in his 40s, to a guy who's been out of the game for 7 years. Now, I'll ask you this question. If you're going to go for a manager that's been out of the game that long, why did they not go for Alex Ferguson? And why is it when Reagan resigns last week, this is what they've come up with? This is their appeasement to Scottish football fans. A man that knocked back the Rangers job, who was not interested in working 7 days a week, but he wants to take a part-time manager's role for Scotland.
Well, first of all, I did raise the point at the start of the programme that there would be people who would say, been out of management for 7 years, how can he possibly qualify for this post? And that once upon a time, it was the dawn of a brave new era led by Michael O'Neill, and now it's a phone call to Walter Smith. So I am putting both sides of the case forward here, and I did say at the very start, the very mention of his name polarises opinion.
Guys, it's nothing to do with Walter Smith. It's to do with the incompetency of the SFA, yeah, and the SPFL. They are ruining the game in Scotland with disaster after disaster after disaster. Now, see if Walter fails, which he has already done with the Scotland team, but see if he fails again. Where are we, guys? We're back to further than we even were.
Yeah, of course. He's like,
we can probably leave the SPFL out of this one, Danny. They may be to blame for quite a lot, but I don't think they have much to say on this.
And I don't know, Danny. I mean, the game being ruined, disaster after disaster. You've got Celtic, who were in the Champions League and have progressed by going a stage further than they did last season. They're in the Europa League and they'll play next week against Zenit St. Petersburg. We've got a league competition that has sparked into life due to the efforts of Neil Lennon at Hibs and the points that he's been accumulating. You've got Aberdeen going into second place, 6 points ahead of Rangers, who have to play Partick Thistle tomorrow night. So I don't know where disaster after disaster is coming in.
Danny, the same as I asked the last caller, if you're very much against Walter Smith, which of course you're more than entitled to be, who would you prefer to see?
Guys, I'm only sure who I prefer to see. But give me this. Last week, you're talking about Neil Lennon. You're talking about Steve Clark at Kilmarnock. They two were touted for the job because of how successful they've been over a short period of time. Is this how sad Scotland's became?
Yeah.
Well, you know, again, you have to see where this story goes from here. There is a suggestion within the story that was splashed on the front page of the Daily Record today that Walter Smith has let it be known that he would be willing to end his time out of football. Therefore, somebody has been in touch with somebody. But this is not the end of the story until such times as the SFA say, we have appointed Walter Smith.
Yeah.
This is not the end of the story. We have to see, are they interested in Stevie Clark? Is Stevie Clark interested in them? Are they interested in Neil Lennon? Is Neil Lennon interested in the Scotland job? Which I think he would be. But today's development is that, a development. It is not the end of the story.
I mean, it was Danny's main point, Hugh, centred around the fact that, I'm not going to say Walter Smith is too old, but I think the age, it comes into it for some people. It's a factor.
When you're out for 7 years, you know, and you've enjoyed life and you're not really concentrating, you know, on players or tactics or anything, I think it's very, very difficult to come in and take the big job. you know, which is the Scotland job. And listen, it's still only speculation. It's a story, it's in the paper. Until I hear Walter Smith or someone from the SFA that comes out and said, we've approached Walter, or Walter has said, yes, I would take the job, I would be very sceptical of this story.
Because I know there's a mindset among some people, and I stress that, some people, Hugh Keevans, that when you're young you want to concentrate on club football, and when you're a bit older, that's when you're suited to international football. Yeah. But let's take a look at some people closer to home. Michael O'Neill is the prime example, because he's the one that we wanted.
Yeah.
Don't we know that story by now? But he was 42 when he took over as the Northern Ireland manager. Gareth Southgate was 45 when he took over as the England manager. Chris Coleman, 42 when he took over at Wales. Germany's manager, 45 when he took over. So it's safe to say there has been a bit of a shift away from this idea that international football is for an older gentleman.
But maybe that's the case, Gordon, and it's a good point, a very, very good point you made. But maybe that was the best job at the time that these players got offered.
Yeah.
You know, if it was a national job, brilliant. You know, they might have been offered Division 3 in England or whatever, and they're never going to accept that. And then all of a sudden the international team comes along. So we don't know.
The Netherlands are about to appoint Ronald Koeman as their manager. Now, you know, that's just their good fortune that Ronald Koeman is out of work and a manager of proven ability. So they can get him at just the right time in his career. At the moment, we're directionless and we're not quite sure what to do for the best, it would appear to me. But I do agree with you that age is a factor that could be overcome, I think, by putting, if it's Walter Smith, as I say, today is a development, it's not the end of the story. If it is to be Walter Smith, though, for the sake of conversation, then my suggestion would be that Malky Mackay doesn't have to be tied to his desk at Project Brave, that Malky Mackay could easily work, again, a proven manager of high ability, he could easily work with the players in tandem with Walter Smith when game time comes around, and we can move forward in that way.
John Clark's got it all figured out on Twitter. He takes it one step further. He says, why can't Stevie Clark work as an assistant under Walter Smith? Other club managers have worked as Scotland assistants in the past. He rhymes off Alec Miller, Mark McGee, etc. Let's speak to John in Provan Mill. Hi, John.
Hi, hello there, boys.
Hello.
My point tonight is about the Walter Smith story again, guys. Listen, we'll be taking a major step back if we even think about considering Walter Smith. No harm to the man, Walter Smith. He is what he is now. We should be going, Cat Mahan, the boy Clark at Kilmarnock, and the girl at Hibs to be the chief exec. This is modern-day football. We've got a chance to grab the bull by the horns here, right? Bring in the boy, Stevie Clark, or whatever, to Kilmarnock, which is a great manager. He's been doing the course, doing England at the top of the field there. And the lassie at Hibs, who's been doing a fantastic job at Motherwell and Hibs, she done. Let's go forward. Walter Smith is a major step back. And see if Scotland do appoint Walter Smith, I'll tell you now, every Scotland fan, well, not every Scotland fan, but the majority of Scotland fans will be very, very unhappy the way SFA have conducted their business.
To go back to the point about Stevie Clark, there was an embarrassment for the SFA when they put all their eggs in one basket with regard to Michael O'Neill, and Michael O'Neill ultimately said no. It led to the chief executive falling on his sword, and it has added to the confusion and turmoil within the SFA. If Stevie Clark is on the SFA's radar, somebody is going to have to go to him privately and say, if the offer is made to you, would you have any doubts whatsoever, any misgivings, or would you pledge yourself to Scotland now? Because the SFA can't have a very public knockback for a second time.
You want to come back in, John?
Aye, definitely. Hugh, I do agree with you there, right? But you have to weigh this up now, right? See, you said that the SFA can't have another knockback, right? See, if the SFA go to approach any man to take over the job, right, the Scotland job, and do they have to say, listen, see, before we make this public ever, would you be really wanting this job, or would you change your mind at the 11th hour? I don't know, blah, blah. They can't have that mindset, Hugh. We have to go with these guys and go for them. Do you know what? I think it's Roger Hanna who was talking about the boy at Reagan, him to resign there. It was not that guy's fault that the Irish manager that refused the job, right? These things happen. What we have to do is go to Stevie Clark and say, listen, we're interested in you, Stevie. We'd love you to be the Scotland manager. We know your pedigree. We know your background. And the last year, the chief exec, we want to modernise your sport, modern football. We want to go forward. Bringing Walter Smith back to the equation and put a chief exec in for some new team, no harm to some new team up in the Highlands somewhere to bring jobs for the boys. We've got to move forward. This is the chance to grab the chance. Move forward. And if anybody's listening to the SFE here, the Scotland fans will be very unhappy if we go back away. Because Walter Smith's a major step back.
But listen, John, the SFE can't go and speak to Stevie Clark. They have to get permission from Kilmarnock before they can do anything. You can't just go and speak to somebody. I accept that Stevie Clark, if he's got an agent, you know, somebody can speak to him because you're not directly speaking to Stevie Clark himself. But you've got to, they're not allowed to do that. That's their rules. If another manager does that, then they'll be up in front of that SFA and fined or suspended.
Thanks to John in Provanmill. Get your thoughts in on the weekend's action. Rangers fans, Celtic fans, I guess you will be disappointed. Aberdeen, Kilmarnock, Hibs fans, you'll be delighted. So let us know what you thought of it. 01419511025. We'll hear from Brendan Rodgers after the travel with Amber.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Ladbrokes.com. Download the app and score a tap-in. Please gamble responsibly.
Hugh Keevans and Derek Johnson here with me, Gordon Duncan, on tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Let's turn our attentions and look back on some of the weekend's action, shall we? Starting with the early game in Ayrshire. Brendan Rodgers says there's no excuses for the 1-0 defeat to Kilmarnock, just the second domestic defeat since coming to the club. Of course, it was Yusuf Malumbo's second half strike that settled the game, and Rodgers says they just simply weren't at the races.
I thought we were disappointed. There's very few games where I would say that, but I thought in all aspects of it, you know, we weren't so good today. Firstly, defensively, we didn't have a great deal to do, but we weren't. I felt we weren't aggressive enough in our defending at times. And then with the ball, and listen, I respect the surface is dreadful and everything else around that, but. But no, we weren't good enough in terms of our creativity today, considering the talent we had on the pitch. So yeah, it was something that it was a disappointing day for us, we haven't had too many of.
How disruptive were the injuries in the first half, and how are
you? We just need to see on that. Of course, when you lose two out of your back three so early in the game, then of course it disrupts, but I don't think it was an excuse. Of course, those guys have been pivotal in the last numbers of weeks in terms of how we've played, but yeah, I'll just need to, and the medical team will have a look at them and assess that.
Jack Kenny straight in as well, how do you feel?
Yeah, it's a good game for him to come into, you know. I think that like I say, I think he's done fine, you know. He's getting used to his teammates and that, so yeah, he'll certainly feel after this game the expectations of what Celtic is about. But I thought it could fine.
It was an utterly lacklustre performance from Celtic, and Kilmarnock were deserved winners and could and should have won by an even bigger margin. Celtic are now entering a definitive stage in their season, and they have Partick Thistle and the defence of the Scottish Cup to come on Saturday, followed by Zenit St Petersburg in the Europa League, and then a league game against St Johnstone at Celtic Park, which comes immediately before Celtic go to Pittodrie to take on Aberdeen. They are 8 points ahead of Aberdeen, but they are in a place where they have to be careful now. And to add a sense of perspective, Brendan Rodgers has had 64 league matches as Celtic manager and lost two. So a sense of perspective, but he has been absolutely crippled by injury. I can give you a team, Gordon, of injured Celtic players. Gordon, Lustig, Boyata, Aya, Ralston, Armstrong, Rogic, Roberts, Griffiths, Johnson and Hayes. You know, it's been an incredible season for Celtic where injuries are concerned, but they are approaching a definitive point in the season with the Cup, the Europa League and two very important league games back to back.
You know, every club has an off day, and Celtic certainly had one at the weekend. I think Hugh's right. I think when you think of these three chances that Kilmarnock had in the space of about 5 or 6 minutes, really good chances we're talking about. You know, good saves as well. You know, it could have been a lot worse. I think the worrying thing for him, and you can hear it in his voice, you know, that he wasn't happy. All these big players didn't play on Saturday. You know, Sinclair came on after the injury, after the first 15 minutes or so, and he was poor. Somebody that you know is going to run at players and get good balls into the box. He's going to cut inside and have shots. He's just an exciting player. It never happened. You know, and the two, Dembele didn't play at all well. He was out the running in the game. He was getting marked. There was no space for him. He couldn't move. The only time he was getting a touch is when he was coming back almost into his own half. I think Celtic had one of these games, and listen, I'm taking nothing away from Kilmarnock. They stopped Celtic playing. That's the difference. We're getting everybody back and closing down quickly. I didn't think they could do that for 90 minutes, the way they were closing down, but they did. So you've got to give full marks to Stevie Clark, A, for the fitness of his players, and B, tactically, his players listened to him and they were absolutely superb.
Okay, let's get the verdict of Graham and East Kilbride. Hi, Graham.
Hi, how you doing, guys? Thanks very much for getting me on.
No problem.
I was coming on, and Hugh, you just illustrated and highlighted something with clarity there. Celtic are my team, and Celtic are a team that should be streets ahead. And I think the strength and depth that they have has shown that they only get beat 1-0 by Kilmarnock. They weren't destroyed by them. So the financials involved by Celtic, etc., should be winning every single game, etc. There is an argument to turn in and say, well, do you know what? Two games, like you said, in 64, were a defeat. It's not bad. And I relate this to some of the vitriol that you see online with respect to fellow Celtic fans who are short-sighted and also narrow-minded. Jesus, it's only two games in 18 months. But let's look at the bigger picture in regards to Scottish football. How about instead of looking at how bad Celtic and Rangers are, a bit about gaining a bit of credit to guys like Stevie Clark and Neil Lennon. It's actually making the Scottish game a bit more competitive, a bit more attractive to other players. And this relates even into the national team. I do agree, and I listened earlier. Walter Smith was good when he was there, but is it the right thing to do?
Well, to
probably
go back
not.
To the point about Hibs and Kilmarnock, there's only so many times you can say credit to Neil Lennon, to Stevie Clark. We've been saying it since Saturday. We keep on repeating ourselves. One of your fellow Celtic supporters was on earlier who spoke about the disaster after disaster that was affecting Scottish football, and I had to say to him, what disaster after disaster? We've got Hibs and Kilmarnock who are competitive. In actual fact, Celtic owe Rangers a favour because Rangers have taken 9 points off Aberdeen. If Aberdeen had managed to get some better results against Rangers, they'd be a lot closer to Celtic than they are at present. So we do understand that there is a highly competitive
nature. You will
accept
there are quite a lot of ifs in there, though, I'm sure.
You know, the caller is saying that we're not highlighting the competitive nature of the league. Yes, we are. We're simply highlighting that on Saturday, Celtic had their second worst performance in a league match since Brendan Rodgers became manager. And they were utterly lacklustre. And as I say, they're approaching a period in the season where they're looking for a spark against Partick Thistle in the Cup, Zenit in the Europa League, St Johnstone, Aberdeen in the league, at a time when, and I've just read out the 11 names, they have a full team worth of players out with injury.
Well, funny that Graham should mention trying to talk up the competitiveness of the league. Now listen, I've yet to meet many people who think we've got a genuine title race in our hands. I don't come across many people who think that. Maybe there are some, and maybe I've just not met them. But when you look at the facts at the moment, Hugh, and again, I completely accept this might be blown out the water by the time the end of May comes.
Yeah.
But at the moment, our top flight is closer than the English Premier League, it's closer than the English Championship, it's closer than La Liga, it's closer than the Bundesliga, it's closer than the French League as well.
Yeah.
So I'm not saying we've got a title race, but maybe it's just not as bad as people would have you believe.
Well, a year ago, Celtic were 27 points clear. Now they're 8. They've dropped 18 points this season, where last season they had only dropped 8 the entire season long. Now they've dropped 18 and there's still one third of the season to go. The game at Pittodrie will be exceptionally interesting, as will the game at Ibrox on the 11th of March. And I am saying two things to you. Celtic are not as good as they were last season. How could they be? It was a season that will never be repeated. But The spark is gone at the moment, and that has not been helped by a catalogue of injuries.
Graham, stay where you are and I'll get your thoughts on this. Brendan Rodgers was asked about those injuries. He was asked about the pitch as well at Kilmarnock, whether that had an impact or not. Here's what he had to say.
I'm not sure. I think, listen, I don't want to really go on about the pitch. I've said it many times before. It's, you know, we've been here before and won the three other times I've been here, and you don't create so many chances. It's never really a good game of football. So, but of course, it can be an issue. You'd think when you pull up with a groin and an ankle, the guys complained about it. So, but listen, it's, we know the pitch that we're playing on, so we have to cope with it.
How concerned are you? Now you almost have a team of injured players now with regards to the Europa League tie coming up.
Yeah, it's unfortunate, but we just need to, you know, assess it. I'll see where it's at after today, and like I say, it's just unfortunate that both boys have picked them up. So, but I don't know how serious they are as of yet.
What actually was Boyata's injury, Brendan?
It's his groin.
Yeah. Kind of blocked tackle, or was it?
I believe so. It looked like that, Gordon, on the far side. Yeah. So, so we just need to wait and see.
Was Simunovic missing today just because of the pitch?
Yeah. Yeah, so he struggles on the Astro. He's fit. Yeah, so he's fine. He'll be ready for next week.
Graham, how are you feeling about the injury situation, particularly after the weekend?
The injury situation, doesn't help, obviously, that the most creative and dynamic players in Celtic squad are out. Again, though, you don't want to make excuses, because the bottom line is we've got the most money. I think for Brendan, in fairness, Brendan Rodgers, it's a challenge to his managerial and coaching staff that with the wealth of the pool, you should still be able to come up with solutions to these instances. I just don't buy. See, I mean, don't get me wrong, it's been well highlighted how short the pitch was cut and all the rest of it, but if it's legal, you should be prepared for that. I just don't buy all these excuses. It's 11 guys, the 11 guys. Certainly, fair play to Brendan Rodgers. He's the one that turned around and went, I'm disappointed that we weren't there.
Yeah. I think every club that goes there knows exactly what they're going to get. You're absolutely right. And I would like to think that these clubs that are playing on that on the Saturday during the week will go to some other ground that, you know, the same type of surface and play on it, because
I think the problem, you know, is they say that no two Astro pitches are the same, don't they?
At least it's the Astro pitches, you know, it's different from grass. It's as simple as that.
Beat the pundits with Goals in the Scottish Sun. The SPFL and EPL latest every Monday, Wednesday and Saturday.
We'll continue our look back against, to the weekend's football action. We're going to hear from Graham Murty what he made of the Hibs defeat at Ibrox. We're going to do that after we play Beat the Pundit. So if you want to play Beat the Pundit, now is the time to go and pick up the phone. Dial 0141 951 1025. Do it right now, and you could play Beat the Pundit against Hugh Keevans or Derek Johnson after the news.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Ladbrokes.com. Bet and play and pull a result out of the bag. Please gamble responsibly.
Hugh Keevans are here with me, Gordon Duncan, on tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. We're continuing our look back on the weekend's action. Not much downtime for Rangers or Partick Thistle. They go head-to-head tomorrow night. We're going to hear from Graham Murty talking about putting things right from the weekend. It was an end-to-end game against Hibs. Hibs came out on top. We want to know what you made of it. 01419511025. But let's do this first.
Beat the Pundits with Goals in the Scottish Sun. The SPFL and EPL latest every Monday, Wednesday and Saturday.
Okay, Beat the Pundit time. Let's meet tonight's contestant. He is Martin Robertson and he's from Castle Milk. Hi, Martin.
How you doing, mate?
Not bad, how are you?
Not bad, mate.
Good stuff. I'm going to toss this coin. Martin, heads, it's Hugh Keevans. Tails, it's Derek Johnson. Would you have a preference if I gave you the choice?
Derek Johnson, because they beat me the last time.
Oh, you've been on before, right? He wants his revenge. Right, well, I'm going to toss the coin anyway and see how we get on. Heads, it is going to be Mr. Keevans. Tails, it is DJ. Let's see how we get on. On it is. You're going to get your chance, Martin. Tails, Derek Johnson is standing by. Let's give him a bit of Clyde 2. Make sure he's not listening in. Martin, it's 30 seconds. Head to head, you can pass. Here is your chance to beat the pundit, okay?
Okay, mate.
How many points clear are St Mirren at the top of the championship?
13.
Who scored the winning goal for Kilmarnock against Celtic on Saturday?
Malimba.
Kilmarnock and which other team are currently on 29 points in the Premiership?
Ross County.
Which Scot has been sacked as manager of Bradford today?
Pass.
What nationality is Hibs Ofer Marciano, the goalkeeper?
Italian.
Who scored a double for Aberdeen in the 3-0 win against Hamilton?
Adam Rooney.
And in which year did Walter Smith leave Scotland to rejoin Rangers?
2007.
Okay. DJ, you with us?
I am.
You are. Just enjoying a bit of a musical break there, were you? Glad to see that you've returned.
I like the tune, but I didn't know the words.
That's probably for the best, because you usually sing along, which is quite disturbing. Okay, you ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Okay, same set of questions to you. Let's get the clock and go. How many points clear are St Mirren at the top of the Championship?
14.
Who scored the winning goal for Kilmarnock against Celtic on Saturday? Kilmarnock and which other team are currently on 29 points in the Scottish Premiership?
Motherwell.
Which Scot has been sacked as manager of Bradford?
Stuart McCall.
What nationality is Hibs Ofer Marciano, the goalkeeper?
Italian.
Who scored the double for Aberdeen in the 3-0 win against Hamilton Accies?
Pass.
And in what year did Walter Smith leave Scotland to rejoin Rangers?
2007.
Okay. How are you feeling about that, Martin?
I think it's close.
Oh.
No offence, I don't, but let's I'm only kidding. Let's go through them and see how we get on. Or am I kidding? First question, how many points clear are St Mirren at the top of the Championship? Martin said 13, Derek said 14. It was 14. Martin, you were close, but DJ pipped you on that one. Easy question number two. He's been all over the news since he did it on Saturday. Yusuf Malumbu scoring the winner against Celtic. Kilmarnock and which other team on 29 points in the Premiership? It is Motherwell. So DJ takes a 3-1 lead. It's a long way back at this stage, Martin, and he made it even harder. Stuart McCall sacked as manager of Bradford today. Funnily enough, you both went for Italian Ofer Marciano, but Hugh, he is
Turkish?
He is Israeli.
Oh, Israeli.
So 4-1 to Derek at this point. It was Andrew Considine who got a double. And on to the last question. To be fair, Martin, you were on the money with this. 2007, Walter Smith left Scotland to join Rangers, but so was DJ, and that means it is a 5-2 win for Derek Johnson. Hard lines, Martin.
God loves us, right?
We'll make it best of three, Martin. Sometime. Good morning. In fact, you've lost best of three. Well, maybe first of three. Good man. Thanks, Martin. That was Martin and Castlemilk taking part in tonight's Beat the Pundit. Let's continue looking back to some of the big games over the weekend. Then Graham Murty says the Rangers players are raring to go after the 2-1 defeat to Hibs at the weekend. The Ibrox boss admits it's still taking time to work out his best 11 and system and see what he's got. But he says that they will welcome back Kenny Miller from injury for the trip to Partick Thistle tomorrow.
They were disappointed, but it's down to us to put it behind us and go and get a positive result tomorrow. Thought we worked extremely hard to try and get something from the game. It wasn't to be, but it wasn't for the lack of trying. And the atmosphere around the place is positive. I think they want to actually get back on the football pitch, which is a good sign for a manager. It'll take us time to work out everyone's strengths and everyone's areas for development. And I thought at times in the first half on against Hibs, you saw that we weren't always in sync. But in the second half, I thought we made really good adjustments. And we should have, oh sorry, we could have gone and taken at least a point, if not three, but for a crazy 10 seconds. So for all that, we're disappointed with the result. There's lots of positives to take from the game, not least with how well the guys who've come in recently have bedded in. And we have people back fit. Kenny trained again today, so he's back in the squad. We have to make sure that we are appropriate in the fact that we want people back into the squad, we want them ready. But we had to make sure that we waited until we completed enough training sessions with enough volume and enough load before we throw guys back in. But we have almost a fully fit squad, albeit we still have some big names and lots of experience out. So we have to make sure that we utilise the squad well, because we've got a busy period coming up.
Yeah, he has, and I think there will be changes tomorrow. I think there has to be. I think, you know, it's all right saying, yeah, they played well, and the 6 minutes you got on the television, it was end-to-end stuff, but Rangers lost again at home. So I think there's got to be changes. For me, I would certainly start Doherty. I think it's going to be a hard, hard game. This is another huge banana skin for Rangers. I said that on Saturday, and I'll say it again for tomorrow night. Thistle aside, Rangers have never had it easy against them there this season. I think they're going to be a battle, and when you a battle, you've got to get the players in that can do that. And I think Doherty in midfield can do that. I would actually start Cummings as well. I would give him games, because he is a natural goal scorer for me. And even O'Halloran, and the width, you know, just to get that wee bit of pace again. I think Graham's got to be thinking, you know, two or three changes. Kenny Miller will come back in the squad. He won't start the game. No chance, because he's been out for so long. But he's maybe somebody you can bring on late in the game or whatever. But I think changes will have to be made, because it's a battling Rangers side you need tomorrow, because that's what you're up against when you play away at Firhill.
Hugh Keevans, it's a fairly similar conversation to the one we had about Kilmarnock and Celtic, where in this city, a lot of the attention will go towards where did Rangers go wrong, where did Celtic go wrong. But of course, like we did with Kilmarnock, you have to give Hibs the appropriate amount of credit as well.
Of course, when Neil Lennon catalogued the number of changes that he'd been forced to make due to injury, then you realised how big a result it was for Hibs. Young Ryan Porteous at the age of 18, playing central defence and playing exceptionally
well. His body in the way, some important times as well.
And it's a big night for Rangers tomorrow, because Hibs are only 2 points away from Rangers now.
Yeah.
Now, we go on about the need for Rangers to finish second above Aberdeen, but Hibs are only 2 points behind them. So the Rangers can't afford to leave anything behind at Firhill. But Partick Thistle are in that relegation dogfight. They're fighting for their lives, and at the moment they're fighting pretty well.
Norman is in Saltcoats. Hi, Norman.
Hello, good evening, boys.
What did you make of it then, Norman?
Disappointed at the end. We could have won the game. What really annoyed me was Tavernier's effort at the end. I was interested to hear Derek's view on that. I mean, any player can make a mistake in any part of the park.
Yeah.
He can pass a ball back and they'll see somebody running. You know. But for him, he's running towards a player who's facing the stand, and whether he dived or whatever, he gave him the option to do it, and I was so disgusted. We could have won that game on Saturday.
Yeah.
And I would like to know what Derek's opinion, when he played, if he did that, what would Jock Wallace, would they've actually really get through them? What do you do about that, Derek?
Absolutely. I mean, I mean, we're not talking about an 18 or a 19 year old kid here. We're talking about an experienced player. You've got a player, Scott Allen, who was going up the line towards the corner flag. He's doing nothing. There's no danger whatsoever. And you give the referee a choice because you've made a tackle. He tries to win the ball and clips his right foot, you know, when he's right. I just don't get it, why he would even attempt to do that. It was the most stupidest tackle I've ever seen. And it's a penalty kick, whether you think it's soft or not. There's no such a thing as a soft penalty. It's either a penalty or it's not. And that was a penalty. And it's cost Rangers. Because you're right, you can never say that Rangers were going to go on and win the game. I know Graham Murty said that. You never know. You know, Hibs might have gone up and won the game. But when you get the equaliser and the whole ground's buzzing and the players are buzzing, and 60 seconds later, you get somebody, an experienced player, making a tackle like that in the box. Absolute nonsense.
Big opportunity missed. When I had my first look at the penalty call, I thought that Scott Allen had gone down in a theatrical fashion. But listen, the penalty was awarded, and that's that. And Rangers lost. It was a big opportunity missed, because they had the opportunity to be 8 points adrift of Celtic, just like Aberdeen. And now, all of a sudden, they're six adrift of Aberdeen. They can forget about catching Celtic. And they've got Hibs at their tail, 2 points behind them. So Rangers can't afford any slip-ups at Firhill tomorrow night. That was a major blunder on Saturday.
You want to come back in on that one, Norman?
Derek, see, when you were playing days, would that just been overlooked? I know you win as a team and lose as a team, all this stuff, and then they can make a mistake, but would Jock Wallace went through any of you guys for doing that?
Listen, you've just mentioned the two words, Jock Wallace. He would have been absolutely fuming at that. And I think what normally would happen, if you made a blatant mistake like that, you would actually be waiting at the door of the dressing room. When you came in, you got the back of his hand over the back of your head. And he would sit you down, and you would get a rollicking for 5 minutes from him. And then you'd go to the second half and you'd want it to play better, you know, and if it happened in the first half. But no, Jock Wallace hated bad mistakes and losing goals. Anybody can make a mistake, but the stupidity ones, as that one was on Saturday, is absolute nonsense. And listen, the player himself's gone home, and I bet he hasn't slept yet. He'll be still dreaming of that stupid mistake that he made, but he did it.
If you're looking for positives, Hugh Keevans, would they come in the shape of a wonderful free kick from Sean Goss? Although having said that, I've also seen many Rangers fans a bit annoyed at the way Hibs seem to win the midfield battle. So
I don't think there are positives. You've lost at home, and not for the first time, not for anything like the first time this season. The home record is simply not good enough or anything like it. So there are no positives.
Chris is in Wishaw. He's an Aberdeen fan. I wonder how happy he was after the weekend. Hi, Chris.
Hiya. I was very happy, actually. The way the results fell seemed to kind of go in our favour. And I'm curious to get Hugh and Derek's opinion on the kind of head-to-head or the battle for second. Is it more important, the head-to-head results, or do you think it's more important how they deal with
the rest of the league? No, you're absolutely
right. Don't be nasty, say the smaller teams, because we've got the best record against the bottom six teams. We've taken more points.
And that's why you're there. And I keep saying it week after week, Rangers' home record's disgraceful. When you think of the, you know, defeats against, you know, Dundee, Hamilton, you know, draws against Kilmarnock. They've been beaten by Hibs twice. They were beaten by Celtic. You know, their home record is terrible. It's all right, Rangers fans say, yeah, we'll beat Aberdeen, we're the second best team. No, you're not. You have to beat everybody. The one word that I keep coming up with, and people give me stick about it, consistency. Rangers lack that. It's all right getting up for the big games and, oh, it was fantastic. They get all the praise. And obviously, it seems to go to the Rangers players' heads that, you know, we're now players now. And all of a sudden, the next game, they're playing against a so-called smaller team and they can't get up for it and lose points.
I mean, Hugh, when it gets to the end of the season and everything's settled, none of this stuff will count for much. But it is an interesting point that Chris raises. Aberdeen find themselves 6 points ahead of Rangers, having lost 9 points to Rangers. Yeah. Hibs on the other hand have beaten Rangers twice at Ibrox, but can't get anywhere near Aberdeen, and it's a really strange way that it's playing out between those sides.
I think Aberdeen should be kicking themselves,
because then everyone could say that, though. That's the point, isn't it?
Listen, there's an 8 point gap between Celtic and Aberdeen, and Aberdeen have dropped 15 points to Celtic and Rangers. Celtic have beaten them twice so far and Rangers three times. Aberdeen should be kicking themselves, because we would have had a genuine title race but for their ineffectiveness against Celtic and Rangers.
Yeah, Rangers would say,
we're kicking ourselves because we lost at home to Hamilton and so on. So that's the point. But it's just interesting the way that, you know, Aberdeen have really got it together against the rest of the teams, but not Rangers and Hibs.
And you know what now? You know, having watched, I mean, it's second place, and that's what we're talking about here. Second place, Celtic are going to win it without a shadow of a doubt. But you've got Hibs involved now, and all of a sudden they're looting a good side. They're that had four or five players out, you know, the injuries right at the start of the game, and yet they could still go to Ibrox and win. They're right in with a shout as well.
Chris, just quickly before I move on, where are your confidence levels then as an Aberdeen fan about finishing second?
I
don't know.
They were pretty low down when they lost to Rangers, a couple of weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
But McGinn's came back in and he looks absolutely fantastic again, as if he's never left. And I think the spirits are probably as high as they've ever been, because that's what, 10 goals in our last three games. We're going into a good cup game at the weekend. I think confidence is really high, and as I say, we'll probably end up losing our next games against Rangers and Celtic, but I think the way we perform against other teams is going to take us into second ultimately.
Okay, thanks to Chris, an Aberdeen fan from Wishaw. Let's speak to Charlie and Airdrie. Charlie, what did you make of the Rangers game at the weekend then?
Well, I was at the game trying to get one, but couldn't get one Saturday.
Oh, it was busy on Saturday, Charlie, my apologies.
I get through with the guy in my boot, it doesn't matter. But thing is Derek here, aye?
Yes.
I'm here, Charlie.
Derek, listen, by the way, I thought Graham Murphy would maybe have a chance of getting a job. But see now, seeing Saturday there, see, as you say, you live with a sword, you die with a sword, and I'll kill you now. See his decisions Saturday. I don't blame Tavernier for what he done. Fair enough, we ended up getting a penalty through it. But I blame Murphy, because he stood there, and he stood, and he stood, and he stood. And everybody for a man when about me were saying, right, get Cummins on. The second half, we thought he'd bring on Cummins straight away. I'm always in this wee guy's the case, that's wee Morelos.
Oh, you're not going to complain about him again, Charlie.
I'm telling you, by the way, he done absolutely nothing again. And every time he jumped up for a ball, he missed it. He's too wee.
Yeah.
The ball goes right there, you see it every time.
Well, he did put one in the net with his head, albeit it got ruled out, didn't it, Derek? But,
that's why I've said, Charlie, I think there should be three changes made for tomorrow night. I would bring in Docherty, Cummins and O'Halloran on the wing. The one thing I would disagree, how on earth can you blame the manager for the stupidity of James Tavernier? I mean, you can do all the coaching you want, but if a player goes out and does something like that, then it's out with the manager's hands. I mean, I wasn't at the game. You obviously were. We're in the studio here, so I don't know if it was right to bring them on in 70 minutes. Maybe you should have brought them on after an hour. I don't know. I didn't see the whole game, so I really can't comment on that.
That is one of the top bugbears of the football fan, though, Hugh, isn't it? No matter who you support, it always comes down to substitutions, doesn't it? It's something right there at any ground across the world you'll hear. Oh, can you get the changes on, get them made. Can't believe it took them so long. That was the wrong change.
Well, you know, back to Gordon Dalziel on Saturday describing this wonderful game that he thoroughly enjoyed, best game he'd seen all season, etc., etc. And then our first caller had been made dyspeptic by it all and was
threw his cheeseburger away.
Yeah. So
for anyone who was worried about that, by the way, he tweeted me later that night to say that he had got himself a new cheeseburger. So just in case you were worried about his eating habits,
and he didn't throw it on the ground, he threw it in the bin.
Of course, we would never condone littering.
We've lost sight of the fact that sometimes you have a right good game of football, yeah, and Celtic and Rangers don't win. And on Saturday, well, you had a right bad game of football at Kilmarnock, but Kilmarnock were so good that they couldn't help but beat Celtic. And then we had a right good game at Ibrox, and Hibs were so good, they beat Rangers. So that's football.
Now, there is still time for you to enter and win Pitch Hire, courtesy of NL Leisure. We've got some world-class football facilities for you to win. Remember, Gordon Dalziel and myself went head-to-head in a penalty shootout at Ravenscraig Regional Sports Facility. That's the home to two full-size 3G pitches, outdoor pitches, sports halls and all the rest of it. If you've not been, you should get yourself down and check it out. But we've got a competition online. It closes this week. So to win some of those prizes, you have to go to Clyde1.com/NLFootball and you can win there. We'll get a full-time teaser for these two after these.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Ladbrokes.com, backing Scottish football all season long. Please gamble responsibly.
Hugh Keevans and Derek Johnson are here with me, Gordon Duncan, on tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. We're going to take a look at some of the big results at the weekend in the Championship, particularly at the top with St Mirren. So this might be the time for Buddies fans to get involved. 01419511025. But let's get the teaser off and running, because I know this is always a good way to pass some time between now and 8 o'clock. Lots of people sitting at home, Hugh Keevans. I don't know if they write them down or if they're just so good that they remember them. But they always tweet me the answers considerably before you two do. That's all I'm going
to
say.
Tweet the answers to Derek.
Yeah, exactly. Right, okay. We're looking for the last seven winners of Scotland's Player of the Year award who were not from Scotland, England, Wales, Northern Ireland or Ireland. So the last seven winners of Scotland's PFA Player of the Year award who were not from the home nations, essentially. Not from Scotland, England, Wales, Northern Ireland or Ireland. Any that jump out at you immediately?
Stefan Johansson.
Correct. He was the most recent.
Did you say that it's the SFA one? The PFA. The PFA one, sorry.
The one that you were the first ever player to win, if you want me to mention that.
Oh, well done.
Like that wee fact? Is that true?
That's true, yeah. 1978, yeah. 40 years anniversary.
So Stefan Johansson, the 2014-15 season, he was the most recent one, obviously, because it was Scott Sinclair, wasn't it, who won last year.
So we're covering 40 years, are we?
No, it's the last seven. So it's the most recent seven. It only goes back to about 2000. I didn't want to give you that clue just yet, but I'm just looking for the last seven, the most recent seven, if you like.
Lubo Maravchik.
No.
Henrik Larsson.
Larsson,
yes. Derek, I'll give you a second to spot the problem with John Hartson's name.
He's Welsh.
Sorry, he's Welsh.
Correct. One more guess and then we'll move it on. Quick, throw a name.
Mialbi.
No. Okay, let's look back at St Mirren stretching the lead at the top of the Championship. It's now 14 points with a win over Queen of the South. Jack Ross, though, not ready to be distracted by talk of the title. Remember, Dundee United do have one game in hand. It was Liam Smith and Harry Davis with the penalty. That was enough to secure the win at the weekend. And Jack Ross says it's just his job to keep his players' feet on the ground.
I think our performance was good today, particularly first half. And it's probably reflective of where we're at as a squad. I think there's a squad of players there that they feel good about themselves, that have a belief and trust in what they're doing, and have probably a carrot now they can see, and that's what they're working towards.
Fabulous first goal, wasn't it, for Liam?
Yeah, I've seen him do that very often. I worked on at Hearts obviously as well, and I think that goal probably demonstrates again, I'm saying about how players feel at the moment, the confidence they have, and you don't do that or you don't try that if you don't feel good, and you don't feel good in the environment that you work in. So I'm delighted for him. The pleasing thing for us today is you know, and even if you add the second goal in the film last week, three out of the last four goals have came from the back four. And for a team that get the forward players get a lot of credit, then that's obviously encouraging for me as a manager as well.
Was Harry always the penalty taker, or was that?
It was interesting because obviously Ian McShane has taken them most of the season. His record's been good, and Cammy Smith scored the last one, I think, at Brechin. But just by coincidence, Stephen McGinn and I had a conversation yesterday, and they said that because the players knew the team yesterday and he wasn't playing, so they said that Harry was wanting to take them and had taken them at Crewe. And I actually watched footage before the game of him taking a penalty at Crewe.
Really?
And just to check they had actually. So I think that, again, he obviously felt confident, but I think the fact that Cammy was happy to give him the ball was reflective that the players obviously trusted him to do it as well. So, listen, Harry's a really good footballer, so it's not a case of centre-half worrying about taking penalties. Yeah. He's a technically very good player, so it's first of the season as well for him, so good.
Mark is a St Mirren fan from Paisley, funnily enough. Hi, Mark.
Evening, gents. How you doing?
Good, thanks. You?
Good.
What's on your mind tonight, then?
I just want to know, what do you think St Mirren's chances are? Seriously, if they were in this league just now, in the top flight, how do you think they would do? And then again, it's a small team. They're not going to have a lot of money to spend, and they're going to come up next season. How do you think they will do? Would any of the guys just back them to go straight back down?
No, I wouldn't insult Jack Ross by saying that.
We're getting a bit ahead of ourselves, yeah. But I don't mind the odd hypothetical.
Well, you know, first of all, let's say the target is St Mirren are 5 wins away from going up, and they will go up. They are a shoo-in. And they will go up as deserved.
Saints fans everywhere are distraught to hear Hugh Keevan's predict that.
A 14-point lead.
He's right.
Game in hand, Dundee United.
Dundee United are in turmoil.
Okay.
Their season won't end happily, I fear. Thereafter, St Mirren will be a bottom six club initially, and will be part of the weekly grind, the struggle for survival initially, because they'll lose Lewis Morgan, their most talented player. But I would not say they are automatic favourites to go straight back down.
We really are getting ahead of ourselves, Derek. But I suppose the only test that we've had in that respect was the cup game against Aberdeen, of course, where Aberdeen won very comfortably. Yeah. But if we go back about 5 minutes to our previous conversation about just how good Aberdeen are against everyone apart from Celtic and Rangers, maybe that wasn't the fairest test. Jack Ross's squad, the one player that he has said on a couple of occasions, for instance, Stephen McGinn, he's called him a Premiership player playing in the Championship.
Yeah, I agree with
that. Lots of St Mirren fans like to praise Cammy Smith, Lewis Morgan. We all know the story. He's not going to be there because he's been so good this season. It's a difficult question that Mark poses, but I think anyone within St Mirren, they'll just be concentrating on getting the job done this season, won't they?
Yeah, they will, and they've got like some McGinnis as well. They've got a fairly young side. They've got a couple of experienced lads in there as well. Maybe they'll need when they do come up. And I'm like you, I think if St Mirren don't go up now, then that'll be the worst thing that's ever happened to that club, because they're there and they're hot, and I think they will go up. Jack will have to bring in two or three more experienced players, that is for sure, because you know you're not going to go up and play in the Premiership with a lot of youngsters in there. He's got a good squad. I agree with you, it's not automatic they're going to go down. They'll be one of the favourites, of course they are, because they've just come up. But you know, they're learning all the time.
You two are very convinced.
They're learning all the time, the St Mirren side. But the world needs strengthening, that is for sure.
Mark, how does that make you feel then? Because you're now up there to be shot at. The mindset must change, because Dundee United, they're the ones who've got all the expectation, but you're the one now that's up there to be shot at. Everyone's saying it's yours to throw away, all the rest of it. How are the nerves?
Right, bring it on, because see, at the end of the day, as you guys have said, for the last 12 months, St Mirren could have been gone. We could have been playing in the second division, the first division, whatever it is after the Championship. We could have been relegated. St Mirren have been quite dire ever since they had their cup run and they won the Challenge Cup. Yep, honestly, I really did. I gave up 2 years. I gave up going to watch them, because every time I went, it was same old. You just gave somebody the ball and they just marched right down, could be for their centre circle, right down the middle of the park, and they, relatively stuck it in the top corner.
But you know what, Mark? You know what pleased me? I mean, St Mirren have been terrific, and I've watched them a few times this season, and I've been really impressed with them, and they're a good side to watch. Over 4,500 were at that game on Saturday. Now, Queen of the South may have brought 100 of you.
I think
lucky.
It was 200 and something they brought.
200 and something. Well done to St Mirren fans. Well over 4,000 fans went to watch them. And that's what I was looking at. Well done, you Saints fans.
Brendan's also a St Mirren fan. Brendan, apart from the obvious, i.e. being top of the league, what's pleasing you most at the moment? What are you putting the success down to?
Good evening, guys.
Hi, Brendan.
It's been a couple of seasons since I've been on. I was on the phone regular. Up to a couple of seasons ago, but for me personally, you can't take it away from the fact that what's happened in the club in the last season and halfway through last season with the Smythe thing coming through, we seem to be on a stable, even keel at the moment. Everything seems to be kind of rosy within the club, and having Jack Ross there, personally, I think the boy's done a fantastic job. We were on, as that last caller said, realistically, last season I thought we were gone. I thought we were down last season. For some reason, Jack came in and the whole place just flipped on its end. And what he's done with the kids that are there, and with Gordon Scott, the whole infrastructure of the club, I think what he's done is brilliant, but I hope we can keep him.
Brendan, I thought we'd lost you as well. It's been a long time since you've been on this phone. You're the Linwood lad, aren't you?
No, Paisley.
Paisley, man. Paisley, I remember you were on every other week. You were on the St Mirren cause. You were going to all the games. You weren't happy one week and you were happy the next. So, listen, delighted to hear you back on again in the Saints top of the league.
It's a West of Scotland trait. You know, Brendan saying, I hope we don't lose Jack Ross. Enjoy him while he's there.
Yeah.
Appreciate his work. It's the nature of football that when people are very successful, they draw attention to themselves and bigger clubs come in. Enjoy it. Five games, five wins, and St Mirren are back in the top flight. And they will be involved in a fight for survival first season up. I think that's safe to say. But it would be very wrong to say they will lose that fight. Jack Ross is a shrewd manager and has worked wonders in 12 months. And 12 months from now, it'll be 12 months better.
Listen, the more success he gets with St Mirren, then clubs are going to look at him. It's as simple as that. That's just how it works.
Do you want some names here?
You want to come back in, Brendan?
Yes, please. What I was going to say was that, as Derek says and Hugh says, you know, some people will... He's in the short window. I mean, football at the moment, as far as managers are concerned, it's a fickle old game.
Yeah.
And when you've got a guy like Jack Ross, who's quite clearly done a fantastic job at New St Mirren Park.
Other people are watching him as well, Brendan. You're right. Other clubs.
Go back.
Yeah, I realise that. I understand that.
Go back, in St Mirren's history and consider this. You took a manager from East Stirling.
By the way, just to be clear, I think St Mirren are a bit more than five wins away. I'm looking at the table, but anyway, carry on.
Yeah, it's seven.
You took a manager from East Stirling one time. And in a short space of time, he became a sensation in Paisley. And he was spirited away to Aberdeen. And then he was so good at Aberdeen, he went to Man United. Yeah. And he was so good at Man United, he won the Champions League and so on and so forth.
Where is this going?
But that is the nature of football. Once it was Alec Ferguson, I'm not saying that Jack Ross will one day have won the Champions League. I'm just saying, if you are successful, you draw attention to yourself and other clubs, bigger clubs, move for you.
Can you remember what Fergie did when he went there? Remember he went, used to go about in the big double-decker bus to get the fans to come and watch St Mirren, and it worked. He had Paisley buzzing.
Absolutely. Thank you to Brendan, St Mirren fan in Paisley. A couple of happy buddies on the phone, as you would expect. 14 points clear at the top of the Ladbrokes Championship, but St Dundee United with a game in hand. Hugh Keevans has given the Arabs no chance at all at pulling it back. Wouldn't be the first time you've got a prediction wrong. Let's see if you can get the full time teaser correct.
Let me remind you
at home of the question. We're looking for the last seven winners of Scotland's Player of the Year award who were not from Scotland, England, Wales, Northern Ireland or Ireland. You've given me Stefan Johansson. You've given me Henrik Larsson.
Brian Laudrup.
No.
Paolo Di Canio.
No.
Fernando Eriksen.
Yes. He of course was the joint winner with John Hartson, who you said earlier on. Okay, so Fernando Rixon was 0405. That's three of the seven.
Was Stan Petrov there?
No.
Oh.
Did you say the Canio?
He said it, yeah. And it was wrong. It's still wrong, yep. Right. Okay, we'll get the answers to the full-time teaser after these.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Ladbrokes.com. Download the app and score a tap-in. Please gamble responsibly.
Derek Johnson and Hugh Keevans are here. They are racking their brains for this full-time teaser. It's the last seven winners of Scotland's Player of the Year award who are not from Scotland, England, Wales, Northern Ireland or the Republic of Ireland. So we've already got quite a few. We've got Stefan Johansson, we've got Fernando Rixon and we've got Henrik Larsson. Anything else?
Emilio Izaguirre.
Great shout. Well done, Emilio Izaguirre. Came over here and won it in the 10-11 season from Honduras, of course.
Lorenzo Amoruso.
Lorenzo Amoruso, 0102, Italian. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Only two to get. Struggling? Hugh moans on Twitter complaining this one's easy. He says, easy teaser. Easy for him to say.
We don't have a Google.
No, Hugh knows his stuff. I'm telling you. Regular tweeter. A regular teaser.
Anyway, we're not done yet.
Yeah, exactly. Plenty of time left. Let's take a quick look back at some of the other fixtures at the weekend before we take some more calls. Hugh, we always like to do it on a Monday night, sort of round things up. What else can we take away from the weekend apart from the obvious? We know that Celtic and Rangers lost and Aberdeen were the winners. What else jumped out at you? What other significant results were there?
I think Ross County.
Yeah.
We all thought that's them finished, and they go to Dens Park and win 4-1. Absolutely terrific result.
Bottom five teams separated by 6 points. If Partick Thistle get the result against Rangers tomorrow, that puts the cat amongst the pigeons. And on we go. And Owen Coyle will believe that the result that Ross County got, the manner of their achievement, will lift their spirits. So it's a real dogfight involving a handful of teams.
And remember, Neil McCann, he wasn't happy that Celtic left it so late, in his words, to sign Jack Hendry. And I must admit, without being too cruel, if you watch the highlights, it looked like the Dundee defence could have used Jack Hendry at the weekend.
Sure, but the bottom line is Dundee had the option of saying no to Celtic. They didn't, and wisely, because they got themselves a fortune, the biggest transfer fee incoming that the club's ever had. So you have to get on with it.
What it didn't really clear up, Hugh Keevans, was, in fact, what it made worse was the congestion we've got at that portion of the table. If you look from probably Kilmarnock downwards, so Kilmarnock are in the top six at the moment, 29 points. You go all the way down to the relegation playoff spot, 11th place, Hamilton Accies, only 6 points further back. I saw some quotes attributed to Keith Lasley today, basically saying that he feels everyone in that bottom half of the table will think they can get the last top six spot. So it's Kilmarnock's at the moment, and you can understand why they're favourites, but very, very tight. Not only if you're looking to get into the top six, but from a more negative perspective, you know, if you're fearing being dragged into the playoffs.
But you know what, Hearts are the only club in limbo, because you've got Celtic, who I believe is going to win it. You've got Aberdeen, Rangers and Hibs going to fight for that second place, and then you've got Hearts way back, you know what,
7 points behind Hibs,
and then the rest of them are 6 points
ahead of Kilmarnock.
So Hearts are that club in the middle. You know, they're not going to go down, and they're not going to get into Europe, I don't think. So they're in that strange position.
Should see Nakamura win the
teaser. Yes, Nakamura, well done. So you've only got one left to get. Plenty of time to get it. I mean, Motherwell and Partick Thistle, for instance, Hugh Keevan's drawing it for Parks, it didn't really change too much as far as they're concerned. Dundee suffering the home defeat as well. Hearts nicking that win against St Johnstone, as Derek says, that might be enough to really secure their... Maybe it's too early for that,
but they're
8 points.
But then the natural order of things was disrupted when Hearts came into the dressing room and found out that Hibs had beaten Rangers at Ibrox to keep Hibs well above Hearts in that league table. And Neil Lennon will want that to remain the case from now until the end of the season, because I'm sure those words, natural order of things, still burn a hole in the back of his head.
John is in air. Hi, John.
How you doing, folks? How are you?
Yeah, good. Thanks, John. You?
I'm not too bad.
Good man. What's your point tonight?
I was just about the Scotland manager post again. I was thinking, what would the panel think of either Ali McCoist or Henrik Larsson? They've both got their coaching badges. What would you think of that panel?
Not a chance in either case. Ali McCoist would not come into the Scotland setup, it would be problematic on a variety of levels. He would have to overcome the same kind of public response that Walter Smith has received since the story broke this morning.
Surely,
that he was a contender.
With no disrespect at all to Ali, surely there's more pressing matters than the public response.
I understand that, but the SFA deal in public responses.
Just to clear up, are you suggesting that if the public response thing wasn't there, that he would be a good shout to be the Scotland manager?
No, I think that we're now, with the greatest respect to Ali, on what basis would you turn to Ali McCoys to be the next Scotland manager? And on what basis would you turn to Henrik? Henrik was a wonderful player, as was Ali. But on what basis are you turning to either of these men?
For Ali McCoys, for example, he would bring some fun to the squad.
Fun is not what's required. Results are what's required.
It's not, but Gordon Strachan, you know what he was like with the press, some of his smart aleck comments, etc. Craig Levein was a bit of a drip. Ali, would just bring a bit of fun. And you do need a bit of fun. It was just like everyone was depressing about Scotland before.
Well,
Henry Larson is an icon. Be well respected throughout the world, not just Scotland as well. And he would like to play golf over here, I'm sure, if Ali was over. No, that is. But the thing is, both of them have got coaching badges, I believe. So what has Ali McCoys done to the SFA to make him so unpopular?
I'm just surprised that you're just plucking names out of the air here.
To be fair to John, and I'm not saying that I support the idea or whatever, but to be fair to John, Ali McCoys, you know, was a Scotland international. He's worked here.
Listen,
in the
he's
game.
He's worked
and
here in this,
let me repeat, I am not saying that personally think it's a great idea, but what I'm saying is it's not quite plucked out of thin air. Not quite.
But it's not going to happen.
There are realistic choices. Stevie Clark, Neil Lennon, Malky Mackay. It would appear Walter Smith. It would appear that Alec McLeish is not out of the frame entirely either. But thereafter, we're just plucking names out of the air for the fun of it.
That's where we're at, though, isn't it? That's the harsh reality, because for a while everyone had narrowed in on Michael O'Neill, and now that's gone. So we're back to the stage where people can throw whatever they want. And just to add to that, we don't have a chief executive either.
We can't do anything. We can pluck things out of the air and everything else, but nothing will happen until you get a chief executive.
Well, you know, the next one will be bring in Luba Maravchik, and the one after that will be bring Brian Laudrup in to do the job. And where's this going?
John, you want to have the final say?
70. Walter Smith's nearly 70. Ali's still relatively young. I think he could bring some freshness and some like a bit of fun into the squad, because as I say, it's been pretty depressing for a while. Anyway,
Hugh Keevans, you'd bring fun into the squad. Why don't you throw your hat into the ring?
Well, why don't we appoint Kevin Bridges then? And we can have a right good
laugh.
Come on. It's not a realistic suggestion. There are realistic names out there. But with the greatest respect, Ali's not on the list. And I'm also surprised that when you think back to what Stuart Regan said at the time when Michael O'Neill turned us down, he said that he was going back to this list drawn up by... Yeah. The SFA subcommittee.
There was more added to the list, he said. Yeah.
So, but anyway, as I say, if you want a laugh, let's get Kevin Bridges in then.
Okay, thanks to John and Air, the final caller of the evening. Do you have anything more to tell me about the full-time teaser? A final reminder of the question for anyone who's playing at home. We're looking for the last 7 winners of Scotland's Player of the Year award who were not from Scotland, England, Wales, Northern Ireland, or Ireland. So the likes of Stefan Johansson, Emilio Izaguirre, Shinsuke Nakamura, Fernando Rixon, Lorenzo Amoruso and Henrik Larsson. You are missing one.
We'll need a Scooby, I think.
No, you don't.
We'll need a Scooby.
Okay, this is the one that's going furthest back in time. I said it was the last 7,
right.
So this one was the 99-2000 season.
Oh.
And it wasn't Henrik Larsson. So think of other players around that era. Hugh Keevans.
Oh, I've been thinking that.
But now you know specifically which year it was. It should hopefully
no.
Well, it'll help.
No, it doesn't help.
Okay, he wasn't from Europe either. He's from much further afield. He was a striker. Went on to play in the English Premier League for a number of clubs.
Oh, played for Leeds.
Mark Viduka.
There you are, Mark Viduka. Yeah. I didn't even have to pull out the Australia card. Well done.
Yeah.
There we are. So that was the final answer on the full-time teaser. Thanks for your efforts on that one. We'll have another one same time tomorrow night as always. Very quickly, Hugh Keevan, looking forward to another good week of football. We've got another cracking game at Firhill tomorrow night, and then of course moving towards the Scottish Cup. We love the cup weekends as well, don't we?
What a week for Partick Thistle. You know, Rangers followed by Celtic, the league followed by the Scottish Cup. In the league, they are fighting for their lives, and they're making a good job of it right now. And Rangers won't get an easy night at Firhill, and Celtic will not get an easy afternoon on Saturday. So Partick Thistle are at the centre of the major talking points for the remainder of the week.
Well, let's not forget that tomorrow it's Motherwell against St Johnstone as well.
It is as well. Big thank you to Hugh Keevans and Derek Johnson for joining me, Gordon Duncan, on tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. I'll be back from 6 o'clock tomorrow in the company of Gordon DL and Roger Hanna. The biggest thanks, as always, to you for listening at home. Thanks for getting involved in the phone lines and on Twitter as well. Don't go anywhere though, it's the two Callums up next. Callum Gallagher talking to Callum Scott on his show. We'll see you at 6 o'clock tomorrow.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Ladbrokes.com. Bet and play and pull a result out of the bag. Please gamble responsibly.